one of the most lovingest churches in the world. And we have a, if you want to call it a standing rule or whatever you want to call it, but if you need to come down to this altar anytime during the worship service or song service or whatever, if you want to get on your knees, somebody will pray with you. And we just think that's a good thing to have. Amen. So anytime you need to come down, we welcome you to come. If you have questions or anything after the service, I'll be here. Hopefully can answer your questions, or if you, whatever it may be, if you just want to chat, you want to talk, we're here. Amen. Well, I appreciate you coming this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Can you say amen? I want to begin by just asking you a few questions, but I want to preface my questions before I ask, and just think about this statement right here. Do you think that periodically we ought to kind of ask ourselves or remember how long we've been saved, how long we've been born again? Do you think that periodically we need to, maybe it might be good for us to say, been born 10 years now. How's my life in the Lord versus when I was born 5 years ago? Well, I think I do that every once in a while, not every day, but I think that's a good thing to do. But a few of the questions I want to ask you, and this will make sense as I go through the lesson, and it's just our sermon. It's just a simple sermon this morning on faith. But for those of you who have been born again less than 5 years, would you please raise your hand? For those of you who have been born again between 5 and 15 years, would you raise your hand? Okay. For those of you who have been saved and born again between 15 and 25 years, would you please raise your hand? Okay. For those of you who have been born again between 25 and 50 years, would you please raise your hand? Okay. A lot. And do we have some here that's been born again for over 50 years? Please raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Boy, well, that's a testimony. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to ask you a food for thought question this morning. And I don't want you to answer it out loud. Just think about it and answer it silently in your mind. But if you were asked, what is the most important quality, what is the most important attribute in your life, in your daily life, I should say, that you consistently manifest in your daily life, what do you think the most important quality or attribute would be that pleases God? Think about that. Think about it. Let me ask you a question another way. When you stand face to face with Jesus Christ, whether at the judgment, and for Christians, the judgment seat of Christ, what do you think he will reward you for more than anything else in your life? Okay? All right? Be thinking about that. Because we're all going to have to stand before Christ. And what is it, if we went home to be with the Lord tonight, if we died today, but we had a few hours to think about it, and we knew that the judgment was coming, and we started thinking about these things, I wonder what few things we would say. Well, surely the Lord will be pleased with this trait or this quality or this virtue or this or that. Something to think about. The Scripture says, for those whom the Lord is pleased with, the Scripture alludes and basically says that hopefully all of us will hear, Jesus may one day tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. Think about those words, well done, good and faithful servant. For a master to say, well done, good and faithful servant, to you or to me or to somebody else, that's a strong indication that he was pleased with us. Would you agree? Now, I want to share with you a scripture that reveals what is expected from us to answer some of these questions, the question I just asked you. I've been a Christian going on not quite 30 years, but I have come to the conclusion that practicing and exercising what we're going to talk about this morning is absolutely mandatory when it comes to what God wants from us. It's absolutely mandatory. Scripture that we want to look at first, you put it up first, Joe, is you can turn to it or it'll be on the screen, is Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:16. I want you to look at these words. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I like the way the King James, the old King James says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look at those words. Look at those words. Look at them carefully. Listen to those words carefully. Ask yourself, does that statement, it's actually a command. Does that command describe you, describe me in our life? And without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, we could spend the whole rest of our time here this morning, and we could just tear this scripture apart, and we could dissect it, and man, we could get all kinds of spiritual nourishment from it, and we could learn a lot. But I just want to zero in on those first 9 words this morning. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. You ever thought about that? You ever read that scripture like that and say, I want to be pleasing to God. Yes, I want to be pleasing to God. Now, do I have the faith that, and do I exercise faith? Is my life a description of the faith that God wants so I can be pleasing to him? Next slide, Joe. 2 things I want you to go away with today. If nothing else, I want you to go with more than 2. But at least 2 things I want you to go away with today based on this scripture that we just read. It requires faith on your part to please God in your Christian walk. Okay? It requires faith on your part to please God in your Christian walk. Number 2, if you don't have an initial faith, and by initial faith, I'm talking about the faith that's required for you to even be saved and born again. You got to have that first. If you don't have that, and then if you don't have a continuing faith in God, if you don't exercise that faith in your Christian walk, God's not pleased with you, folks. God's not pleased with me. God's not pleased with the way that we're living our life. Now, you see one more sentence on there. I want you to understand that I didn't say that God doesn't love you. God loves you with an everlasting love. And he always will. He always will love you. You love your children hopefully with an everlasting love. You love your children with a long-lasting love. But you may be displeased with some of the aspects in their current life. So what I'm saying is, when I say that God wants us to please him, I still say that I want you to understand that even when we're not pleasing God, God's still loving us. God's still loving us. But he's waiting. He's waiting for us to get mature enough and to exercise that faith and to please him like he so desires. The bottom line is he wants you and me, all Christians, to grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we start growing in that truth, when we start growing in that grace, and when we start exercising what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, I want to tell you, God's going to be enormously pleased with you, folks. Slide 3, Joe. One more time. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It is impossible to please Him. We're talking about faith. We're talking about pleasing Him. So let's talk a little bit more about what this faith is that God wants you and me to have, what God wants you and me to exercise in our relationship, in our daily walk with Him, in our fellowship with God. First thing I thought about was looking in my Webster's dictionary. I was curious as far as what would a dictionary, typical dictionary, say about faith? And I was pleasantly surprised. It says in regards to faith, my Webster says faith is defined as trust. Faith is defined as confidence. But then I like this third one here. Faith is a complete acceptance of a truth which cannot be demonstrated or proved by the process of logical thought. Now that's a good one. I think that's very, very good. A lot of times we can't prove things in the Christian life, and some things you just have to accept them by faith. And this next slide here shows you what a biblical description of faith is. I don't know if you can read that. But it comes from Hebrews 11, verse 1. And I've got it up there. I've got the same scripture up there in four different translations. The King James Version says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The same verse in the New American Standard Bible says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The NIV says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then the New English Translation says, now faith is being sure what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. I like that one too, don't you? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. We're hoping in Christ. We're hoping in the Bible. We're hoping in the promises of the Bible. Not only are we hoping in it, but we're convinced that it's true. We're convinced that God's Word is exactly what God's Word says it is, the truth. And then you'll notice maybe one more scripture on there. There's another verse that says something else about faith that supplements and complements what we're talking about this morning. And that's the second part of Romans chapter. The second part of Romans. The second part of Romans, verse 17. But the righteous man shall live by faith. The King James says, the just man shall live by faith. It would be okay, perfectly okay, to say, but the born-again Christian should live by faith. We who call ourselves Christians should say, Jim should live by faith. Anybody out here, all you folks out there, should live by faith. I mentioned earlier that that we Christians must have that initial faith at the time of salvation, but we must also have that continuing faith. That continuing faith, folks, becomes the basis for our Christian life. The basis for our Christian life. In regards to faith, we looked at Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:1, faith is assurance. Faith is confidence. Faith is believing. Faith is conviction. And then faith, the righteous born again person should live by faith. So with all that said, I want to just take the next few minutes and try to simplify this. Just try to simplify this to what faith is and to what faith should be for the Christian. 3 points. Next slide, Joe. Faith, number one, is believing. Next slide. Faith, number two, is believing in God. Next slide. Faith number three is believing in God enough to do certain things. You know, go back, Joe. Okay. You know, it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to act upon that belief. Do you see the difference? It's one thing to say, I believe the Bible. It's totally another thing to say that I believe the Bible enough to where I'm going to do what the Bible says. Or I'm going to believe in the Bible in such a way to where I'm going to let my life, make my life revolve around the Bible. But you see, true faith requires confidence. True faith requires assurance. And true faith requires conviction. And let's make it a little bit more personal. True faith requires your confidence. True faith requires your conviction. And true faith requires your assurance. Now, that second part up there, faith, and up here, faith is believing in God. Faith is believing in God. In order for faith to have meaning, in order for it to be meaningful, folks, faith must be in someone or sometimes in something. But you got to believe in, or if you're going to have faith, if you're going to really truly have faith, you're going to believe in something or someone. Christianity demands that its followers, that those who say they're Christians, Christianity demands that person put his or her faith in the birth, in the life, in the death, in the burial, and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you've got to, that's the starting point. And then if you don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, if you don't believe that Jesus lived the life that the scriptures say he lived, that he was sinless, if you don't believe that Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, if you don't believe that he was resurrected and living today, well then you don't have faith. Or at least you don't have the necessary faith that a person needs to be born again into the family of God, to be adopted into the family of God, to be born again from above. And I want to tell you one thing, folks, about faith. Faith, it's not a giant leap in the dark. It's not saying I'm just going to accept it and not. Faith without a basis is irrational. So, in other words, when you are going to put your faith in something, if you're going to put your faith in Christ, it's just like anything else you're going to put your faith. You want to know. You've got to learn. You've got to examine. You've got to seek. You've got to look at things. And once you do, you find things, and your faith starts growing. The Bible is the place that we look, is the main place that we look, to where is our basis. The Bible tells us where mankind came from. The Bible tells us what the main spiritual problem is for mankind. The Bible tells us what the solution is for mankind's spiritual problem. The Bible guides man or mankind on how to live their lives day in and day out. And folks, the Bible gives us everything we know to tell us where we came from, how we're supposed to live when we're here, and where we're going. If you're a non-believer, it tells you where you're going. If you're a believer, it tells you where you're going to. But it is so much in between that it tells you. But first, simple faith requires that God exists. We read that in the scripture just a minute ago. And then we must put our confidence, our complete confidence in God, And the scripture says he will reward us. He will bless us as we continue to seek him, as we continue to know him. And this is the same God, folks, who has promised, has given us promise after promise after promise in the Bible. And one of those promises is he promises us eternal life. And he says, the scripture says, he is willing. You see, there's a difference. Well, I should say it this way. Not only God can, but God will. And faith is believing that God will. A little difference there. It's one thing where if you can do something, it's another thing if you will do something. And God says, I will give you eternal life. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says, I will always be there. God says, I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. Okay, number one, point number one, faith is believing. Two, faith is believing in God. But then look at number three. Faith is believing in God enough to do certain things. Wow. You say, Brother Jim, what are some of those things that God requires of us that we should do? That evidence a complete faith in our life for God. Well, this next slide here, number one, is accept God's word. You know, so many folks nowadays, they don't accept, let me restate that. They accept parts of God's word. They don't accept all of God's word. Why would God give us his word and then say, okay, well, you can accept this part of the word, but this other part of the word that you don't agree with, no big deal, don't worry about that. But many of us do that today, or many people do that today. Folks, somebody wrote, there is no salvation without faith and no faith without accepting God's word. And I think that's pretty profound. You say, what does it really matter? It matters a whole lot. We got people who accept immorality. We got people in the church who accept immorality. They're not accepting God's word. We got people in the church that say abortion is okay and they condone abortion. That's against God's word. We got people in the church that says evolution is the right way. No. That's against God's word. Creation is the truth, folks. And sometimes it takes a stand when you tell somebody, and if you believe that God created the earth in 6 days, and then you have all these, quote, scientists and all this kind of stuff that say, no, the earth is billions and billions and billions of years old. Well, I can't explain it. I don't know how to explain it, but according to the original Hebrew in Genesis, God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. Six 24-hour days. Now, who are you going to believe? Depends on, you going to put your faith in scientists, or are you going to put your faith in the God of this Bible? It's just a tragedy. It's a tragedy in our day when some Christians say that they believe some of God's word, but not all of God's word. I don't care who you are, folks. I don't care who it is. None of us are smart enough to fully explain God. And the Bible says that our ways and our thoughts are much lesser, I should say. His ways and his thoughts are much greater than our ways and our thoughts. Not only should we accept God's word, but that next slide shows us, Joe, that we should act on his promises. Act on God's promises. You know, there's promise after promise after promise in God's word. And some of the promises say, if you do this, you will be blessed. Some of the promises say, if you do this, you will receive a reward in heaven. or if you do this, something's good going to come upon it. And he encourages us to act on those promises. But do we do that? Do we do that? He would, his will for us is to find out what those promises are on a daily basis, listen to the Holy Spirit, and then live the Christian life in confidence and insurance, in exercising your faith that God will fulfill those promises, whether on this earth or whether in the next life. You keep on praying for that person. You keep on praying for that person who's not saved yet. You keep on praying, even though you hadn't seen him or her saved. You keep on being friendly and being Christ-like, even when you have circumstances to where, oh, you're tested. You keep on, when you're tempted, when the enemy or circumstances in life or whatever it may be, when you're tempted, you keep on, you go to the Bible and you look and see how the Bible says to handle it. You keep doing that because you're going to be rewarded. It's a promise. But see, that's faith in action when you're doing that, folks. And that's what pleases God. But when we don't do those things, he gets displeased with us. Not that he doesn't love us, but he gets displeased with us. And then the third point is obey his word. Obey his word. Folks, I think it's safe to say that obedience is one of the highest words on God's list of priorities for the Christian. When it comes to our fellowship with Christ, when it comes to our fellowship with God the Father, when it comes to our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, obedience is the highest. He said, I'd rather for you to obey rather for you to sacrifice. You could give $1 million to this church and then not obey him in something that he really wants you to be obedient in. And you displeased him because you did not obey him. You know, when I joined the Marine Corps 40 plus years ago, some of you old enough to remember that. And one of the things that caught my eye was the recruiting slogans for the Marine Corps. And those that lived back in them days probably remember that, but they had either on television or in magazines or in the newspaper, whatever it may be, they had this picture of this mean-looking drill sergeant, and he had this Marine Corps recruit in boot camp, and he had his face about this close to him. And this Marine that was in boot camp, he looked like he was tense, and he was standing at attention, and he looked like he was scared to death. And in that picture, there was a caption, and it says, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. And that caught my eye. And I looked at that, and I said, well, you know, they're telling me ahead of time it's not going to be the easiest thing if I join up with that group. Well, it's kind of like that when you join up with God's family. I'm telling you, some days it won't be easy. Some days it may be difficult. But the key to it is, one of the keys is faith. Is faith. Not all the time, but sometimes obeying God's commands that are spelled out in the Bible are difficult. And then sometimes some of his commands run counter to our thinking. And then other times, some of his commands go against our desires. And then some of his commands at times even create discomfort for us sometimes. Nevertheless, the Bible says biblical faith results in our obedience, because deep down inside, truly, we know that God knows best. Remember, that next slide, Joe. Remember, two things I want you to at least go home with. Faith is required on your part to please God in your Christian walk. And secondly, if you don't have that initial faith, and if you don't have that continual faith in God, and if you don't exercise that faith in your Christian walk day in and day out, I'm telling you, the Bible says God is not pleased with us. And one more time, I didn't say the Bible says that God does not love us. Because I don't want you to hear something like Corey said, don't hear what I didn't say. But there's a difference. There's a difference, as I said earlier. We can love somebody and then at the same time not be pleased with their behavior. And we all want God to be pleased with us because we read the scripture initially. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, just finishing up here, talk today about what is needed in our daily lives to please God, the one who died for our sins. Number one, or let me just say this before I say that. I've learned over the years that in my prayers, one of the things that I try to be sincere about when I pray is say, Lord, help me to please you every day, forever, how many days I've got on this earth. And I don't know how many days I got on this earth. I might have one more day. I might have 5,000. I don't know. But that prayer really helps me. And I'm sure many days I don't please him, and hopefully days I do please him. But at least I think that's a good testimony, because I believe that's what he wants. I believe that he wants me, and he wants you, and he wants other Christians to walk around and to live their lives with the attitude of, how can I please you today, Lord? And how can we please the Lord each and every day of our lives? It's just to say it one more time, is to have that faith, is to exercise that faith, to believe in God, believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Believe in God enough. That's the key. Believe in God enough to do certain things, such as accept his word, such as act on his promises, and to obey his commandments. Folks, I just hope that we can leave this place today and just ask ourselves where we are. Where are we when it comes to our faith in Christ? Many Christians, they say, I thank God I had enough faith to get saved and get born again. And they leave it at that. And they rarely read their Bible. They rarely seek God in the Word. Many of them go to church and they think that's enough. But you know God wants a personal relationship, daily relationship with you. And in order to have a personal daily relationship with God, the first place we go to is his Word. And then the second place we go, or you could flip-flop these, is through prayer. And then the third place, which is always good to go, is church. Go to church. Like I said, mostly on Sundays, we just have and Corey preaches a general sermon. It's excellent. He always does an excellent job. We have a general sermon because we got people in the audience. Some of them may be saved. Most of them are saved. Some of them may not be saved. They're different levels. So it's pretty much on Sunday morning a generalized message. But on Sunday night and on Wednesday night, we start digging into the Bible. And you see, that's how faith comes, by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Whether you hear it, somebody reads it out loud, or whether you read it out loud, but the key is the Word of God. And that's why if you find yourself, if you're not where you want to be in your Christian walk, if things aren't quite going along like you think they should be, that you know in your heart they should be, well, first of all, get with God. First of all, get with Him. Talk to Him in prayer. And then secondly, seek out His Word. And it's also good to get with sometime to get with another Christian who you think God might want you to talk to, might could give you some godly advice. But then the third thing is reconsider your church attendance. Reconsider that. Maybe commit to a month of Wednesday nights or a month of Sunday nights. And I guarantee you, you won't be blessed. You won't be disappointed. You'll be blessed more than anything else. So that's pretty much it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Father, we